Well, tonight I'm going to begin a new series. I've titled it, I Believe, I Receive. You know, before I get into it, we've been taught a lot about believing, but sometimes we're a little slack on receiving. If you'll think about it, when God told the nation of Israel to take the promised land, he says, go get it. I've already given it to you. Number one responsibility was, get across the river. Had to get across that river. God wasn't going to do it. They had to do it. And then they had to trust him. They had to trust him to get across the river. It was a flood tide. Then they had to trust him once they got there to defeat their enemies and take the land. One of the things about believing and receiving, whatever God has put on your heart, whatever it is you're trusting for, whether it's a career, a family, a husband or wife, or a business, or education, whatever, healing, deliverance, whatever. It's always by faith. And he never shows you the whole plan up front. Which means what? Which means every step you take, you have to trust that he's working together with you. Amen? So tonight, as we are beginning this study on I Believe, I Receive, we're taking another look at God's Word. Number one, to remember. That means to look again at what I have learned. Sometimes, you know, we can learn principles and learn the truth of the Word of God, but as we're living, we let them slip. We find ourselves not doing what the Word says. So we're going to remember what I have learned. The second thing is we're to correct what I think I know. We all have some of that, what we think, and when we actually get in the Bible, we say, ooh, that's not quite what that says. Years and years ago, I was teaching a home Bible study at a couple's home, and they were believers, and they were on fire for Jesus before I ever met them. But they had come up in a particular denomination that didn't believe in the working and ministry of the Holy Spirit in the present-day ministry in the lives of people. And as I began to teach them, and I taught them for a while, pretty soon I began to hear things like this. I did not know that was in the Bible. I've never seen that before. Isn't that amazing how you can read that book and more than once and consistently, and you'll pick it up and all of a sudden, well, I saw something I hadn't seen. Or I remember something I had forgotten or I've let slip or whatever. You know, when I first got born again and as I was growing in Christ, one of the gentlemen that I studied under a lot taught the same thing every time you heard him teach. Different stories, but the same thing. And I was amazed how it always was exciting every time I heard him teach. Didn't matter because there was life in what he was teaching. So we're going to correct what I think I know. We're going to take another look at God's Word to learn what I have never known. To learn what I've never known. And to let faith arise in our hearts. And the reason I put that in there is our level of faith can never rise above our knowledge of God's truth. You cannot trust him for something that you're not sure he will do for you. It's that simple. Or you won't believe that you have received something that you do not know is yours. Everything that Jesus bought and paid for on the cross belongs to him. And we are joint co-equal heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are in him and he's in us. You know, there are a lot of people that are not sure whether or not God will heal today. They just don't know. They haven't been taught. There are those that are not sure that God will meet their needs financially. They just maybe have been taught that it's wrong to trust God for money. I remember one time, there again, this is many years ago, I was talking to my mother about some things of the Bible, and she was not a believer, and somehow I'd made mention about finances, and she said, you can't ask God to help you with your finances. Some people believe that. Some people don't believe that the Father would lead them into all truth by the Spirit of God. They're actually under the assumption that God helps those who help themselves. Now, you'll never find that in the Bible. It's not there. Okay. So we're beginning to study I believe, I receive. And we're going to go from I believe to there it is. Don't you want to see it manifest? You know, and I understand that every seed that you sow has a different maturity rate. It's a fact. You sow radishes, that's 45 days. You plant an oak tree, decades. It's not the fault of the seed. It's what's in that seed, amen? And I'm not trying to tell you that the seeds that you're planting are going to take years to bring about. There is a due season, a due time, and everybody has a due season, a due time. Jesus said, today is the day of salvation, and now is the accepted time. Talked about Hebrews chapter 4. He said that God has established another day. He said, and that day is today. Okay? So, the first thing I want to share with you is, number one, the Word of God reveals the vision, sets the goal, and establishes hope in our lives. I'll say it again. The Word of God in your life reveals the vision. Maybe you could say it this way. It gives you a picture of what God has for you, or what He's asking you to do, or where He would like you to go, or what He'd have you to be. I often say that many times that your life is like a huge canvas. As you're studying the Word of God, you'll find that as you grow in knowledge of the Word of God, that brush strokes are being applied to the canvas of your life, and the picture is growing and becoming more and more focused as you learn more and more concerning the Word of God. So when I'm talking about I believe, I receive, every one of us should have something that God has promised you or directed you or asked you that you're shooting for or headed toward. Or trusting Him for every one of you. And this whole year I've been telling you that we ought to be trusting God for something we cannot do. And if all you're doing is trusting God for what you can do, I'm asking you to step it up and to believe Him for something that you cannot possibly make happen. Okay? So the Word of God, number one, reveals the vision, paints pictures in your life, sets the goal, it shows you where you're headed. It's something you can look at. And establishes hope. In other words, because He said it, I've got hope that it can happen. Now, in Hebrews, it says that faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not yet seen. So God gives His word. That's His promise. It's eternal. He can't change it if He wanted to. What connects you to it and causes it to be manifest in your life is you believing that it's yours and you have it now. Even though you don't see it. It's the evidence. So what is the evidence that you have God's promise? It's the faith that's in your heart. That's why when someone will say to me, Pastor, I just know that God has healed me. And I say, well, why do you believe that? And if they tell me something like, well, because I'm feeling so much better. And I say, that's not good enough. Because if you're feeling better, you can feel worse. Yeah? The reason we believe anything is because God said so. Okay? Why do I believe I'm born again? Because God said, if I'd believe in my heart that Jesus was raised from the dead and confess with my mouth He's Lord, I would be saved. I know Jesus is in me. But my confidence in what God said. Amen? So, go with me to Joshua chapter 1. I'm going to go, you know how it is with me. I'm headed somewhere. I'm headed toward Matthew 8 in a few weeks, but we're going to start out in Joshua chapter 1. Now, in Joshua chapter 1, just give you a little background here. God has been preparing Joshua to lead the nation of Israel. And here at the first part of Joshua chapter 1, God comes to Israel or Joshua, and He tells him, good news, Moses is dead. You're it. I don't know whether that's good news or not. If I was Joshua, I'm not sure that would be really good news after watching Moses struggle with this bunch all these years. Spent 40 years in the wilderness because they refused to go in. And he never got in because he got upset and struck Jesus twice when he didn't have to. Struck the rock twice. And he comes to Joshua and he says, you're it. Well, we're going to find out some things. I think you're really going to enjoy this here. In verse 1, it says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel." Just in those two verses, we discover that when God speaks to us, knowledge comes. Now that's so important. We're talking about, I believe, I receive. There's no way that Joshua can believe he can lead the nation of Israel into the promised land without God giving him the promise, without God defining what the promised land is, without God sharing with them, "You're going to defeat the enemies and you're going to divide the land." He said, "My servant Moses is dead," or Moses, my servant, is dead. So that's knowledge. Then this word here that says servant, my word study dictionary said this word is used to designate God's prime minister. This word is used to designate God's prime minister. And then he says later that you are my servant, talking to Joshua, same word. And he goes on to say that. It says, God's prime minister, the one through whom he issued his orders and accomplished all his purposes and designs. Now, Moses was sent to Egypt by God to deliver the nation of Israel. So, well, God could have done it anyway. Well, God has to work through men. Okay? Moses said, okay, I'll go. And God worked through him, mighty signs and wonders, and then he brought the nation out as they followed him. Brought them across the Red Sea, got them out into the Promised Land. Well, he didn't get them there. They wandered around the wilderness. So he said, my servant is dead. Then he says to Joshua, now therefore arise. If you're taking notes, and when we're talking, I believe, I receive, when you discover God's will or purpose in the Word, or he speaks to your heart concerning something, it's time to get up. Hello. It's time to start thinking about taking steps forward. The Bible says faith without corresponding actions, it has no life, is a non-productive. Faith without works is dead, is what it says. Has no life, has no course, fruitfulness. So he said, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I'm giving to them, the children of Israel. So there again, if you're taking notes, write this down. God is commissioning Joshua to do three things. Number one, lead Israel into the promised land. Now, because he told him, this is what I want you to do, then you can know that he's authorized and he's anointed and God's got it figured out. If God asks you to do something, you can know that you've been authorized, you're anointed, and he will lead you through it. He's got it figured out. Do I have to say that again? I'll go over here. If the Lord ministers to you and asks you to do something, there's three things you can know. Number one, you are authorized. You can do it. You've got the authority to do it. You've got the permission to do it. Number two, you've been anointed. He would not authorize you to do something without equipping you, empowering you to do it. And number three, what was the third one? He's leading you. Okay, you all got that? So, as you're sitting there listening to me, you're all saying, yep, I got all that figured out. I know exactly. I've been doing all of that. I'm fully confident that I'm anointed. I have authority, and I know he's leading me. Never had a doubt. Well, if you're all never had a doubt, you're better than I am. Because sometimes I wonder. God is commissioning Joshua to do three things. Number one, lead Israel into the promised land. Number two, defeat the enemies. How many know that as he was leading Joshua forward, taking the nation into the land, they're going to encounter some resistance. And number three, he's going to claim Israel's inheritance and divide it amongst the tribes. Those are three things he commissioned him to do. And with these, and with this text, we find that God encourages Joshua with a promise for each commission. This is so interesting. With each commission, he gave him a promise. In verse 3 and 4, he promised to lead them into the promised land, that he could do it. In verse 5, he promised they would defeat the enemies. In verse 6, he told them, you will divide the inheritance with the nation of Israel. So God tells him how he will accomplish his commission. You'll find that in verse 6 or 8. And God told him to not give up. I will be with you each step of the way. We'll find that in verse 9. So I'm going to say it again. He gave him the commission. He told him, you are going to lead them into the promised land. You are going to defeat the enemies. You are going to divide the inheritance. And number 4, I am going to be with you. Now, sometimes it's easy to forget that he's not with us. You know, it seems like we're all by ourselves. Because in my thinking, this is just my thinking, okay? God, if you're with me, why are we putting up with this? Why don't you just wave your little wand and let's turn this thing around? I got a better one for you, God. Let's just get everybody saved. It's going to be saved and let's get out of here. Well, obviously, his thinking is different than mine. Yeah? Or maybe like me, sometimes you've faced some things and said, God, I'm not sure this is worth it. This is, you know, it's a little tougher than I thought it might be. It's taking a little longer than I thought it'd be. And I'm not, I thought this would be a little different. Now remember, God has commissioned him, has given him a promise for each step of the way. Now why would he need a promise for each one of those steps? Because he's going to need to remember it as he begins to take steps forward. Because God said, arise and go. Moses is gone. You're it. Now let's get with it. And he has to do it by faith. And he didn't tell him the whole step or process. He gave them, get up, let's get ready to go. What's the first step? Make the decision. You're moving forward. Then follow up. You know, we can sit in a spot waiting for something to come about, something to change, something to happen. God, I need a financial miracle. He says, go get a job. No, I'm believing God for a miracle. He said, go get a job. Or maybe you say, go get another job. Get two jobs. Oh, no, God, I know. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So let's begin to look at this from that perspective. So in verse 3, God defines the land they are to possess. Now, that is so important. If you're going to trust God for something, you've got to know what it is you're supposed to take. Healing. Deliverance, peace, joy, victory, financial. Can we agree on that? Okay, verse 3. He tells Joshua, he says, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. So he said, every place where you put your foot, there again, that implies movement, doesn't it? It implies action. It implies direction and purpose. He says, every place you put your foot on. So in order for Joshua to receive what God has promised, he's got to do something with his feet. He's got to get them on the land that God promised to them. Yes? Now, not only does he got to get his feet on that land, he needs to keep them there. He can't run back to the other side of the Jordan River because somebody got in his way. Or something happened, or it took longer, or whatever. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. So, he said, just like I told Moses, now this is a great encouragement. Joshua was with Moses all those years. He saw what God did through Moses. He said, the way I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you. Are you seeing that? Faith to receive is based on knowledge. Hello. Knowledge of who you are, knowledge of what God will do, knowledge of what his promises are, of his nature, his character, what your relationship is with him. Verse 4. So he says, I'll give you a place where you put your foot. From the wilderness of this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates. And the world is trying to get them to give up the West Bank. You do realize that their land is quite a bit larger than what they're occupying today. This is going to be interesting when he gets through with this deal. No, he says, from the wilderness, this Lebanon, as far as the great river, yep. The river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. So, what did he do there? What did he just do there? He gave them a vision, didn't he? He said, I want you to lead them into the land that I've given to you. It's not just the West Bank. It's not Gaza. It's from here to the Euphrates, to the Mediterranean, and I don't know how far south he went. But it's a big area. He gives him vision. He gives him something to look at, something that he can see. He has God's promise that that land is mine when somebody else is occupying it, or when you doesn't seem like you can get your hands on it, doesn't seem like it's ever going to be yours, but God said, I want you to go take it. Now put your feet on that land and go take it, because I'll give you all the land you walk on, just as I told Moses. Okay, you guys are so quiet. Now, somebody tell me something you're trusting God for. Well, that's simple enough. Sales at work. So what's the first thing that you would do? If you have God's promise, he's going to give you increase in your sales, what would be the first thing you can think of? Okay. Okay, you're going to believe him. You already believed it.
Yeah.
So you're going to contact some people, right?
Yeah.
Going to look for some business.
Yeah.
What if they turn you down? What if they turn you down? What if they turn you down? Why would you keep going? Thank you. That's why God gave Joshua these promises. Because as he's leading the nation of Israel into the promised land, he's going to have to know what God gave him and what God promised. Because as he's putting his foot on that land, there are people there that are trying to keep him from staying on the land. They're making threats. We're going to get you. You can't take our land. We're going to run you out of town. Who are you going to believe? You'll never make it, Tiffany. They're not buying today. The market's gone to pieces. You can't get any sales. Who's going to pay attention to you, Tiffany? I know you've never heard any of that stuff. After all, you're a woman. You're out there in a man's world. She's an engineer in a man's world. Yeah. Yeah. So he has a vision. Are you getting the picture? He gave him a vision, a boundary to look for. He says, now I want you to get this. He says, I want you to take this. I want you to draw it out. I want you to pin it up on the back of your donkey or whatever, on the side of your tent, whatever, where you can look at it every day and you can see, this is what God has given me. Have you done that yet? Put it up where you can see it, what you're trusting God for. Have you got it on the refrigerator? Have you got it pinned to your wall? Have you got it in the mirror in the bathroom? Have you got it on the steering wheel in your car? He gave him a vision. He says, I want you to trust me for this. Now, when God said that, the land was occupied. Israel is not a warring nation. Now, I know that God defeated all their enemies to get them this part, but they're not warriors. They were slaves. He said, I want you to go take that land. Yes, there's giants there. Yes, there's walled cities. But you get your foot on the ground, and we will make it happen. But you got to get there. So you believe in God for healing. You need to start moving in that direction. Hello? You believe in God for finance. Now start moving in that direction. Believe in God for peace. You need to start moving in that direction. For joy, start moving in that direction. Are you getting the picture? You got to get yourself. What's the vision? I believe I receive. What is your vision? I believe God has removed all cancer from my body. Okay, then write that out. I believe he's given me a new heart. Then put that up there. I believe he's given me a husband or a wife or kids, or a new job, or a new company, or write a book, develop a new product. Get it up there where you can see it, because that's what God did to Joshua. He gave him promises, and the reason he gave him promises, so he could look at those. I believe. What do I believe? I believe what God said. I receive what he said. So verses 3 through 4, he defined what they are possessed. He gave him commission. He gave them the right to take this land. If God said he could take it, can he take it? If God authorized him to take it, can he go do it? All right, Don. Has God promised to bless you? Financially? Physically? Mentally? Socially? Then you've got a right to take it. Did he promise you health, Emma? I believe I receive. I'm encouraging you to take what you believe you receive, get it, write it down, do something where you can see it and keep it before your eyes, and take the promise that God gave you and say, that's mine. Because you're going to have to know it. You're going to have to fight for it. The enemy is just not going to leave town because you showed up. Tiffany's going to pull into a new city and going to try to sell a new alcohol plant to somebody, and the mayor didn't show up. The city council didn't show up. The guy that's got the money didn't show up. I guess I just as well go home. Joshua could have said, but God, there's people in there. God said, go get it. Are you with me? Number 5, or verse 5, it is, he promises he will defeat all of his enemies. So the first one was, he defined what he was to take. Number 2, he promised he'd defeat all of his enemies. Verse 5 says, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Now, that represented the enemy, didn't it? Wasn't that his enemy? Now, in Ephesians says, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against wicked spirits in heavenly places. So your enemy might show up as fear, or worry, or mental health issues, or physical issues, or strife in the home, or strife in your business, or a failed business, whatever, shows up somehow. That's the enemy that you're facing that has the land that God wants you to take. Are you getting that? You remember when Caleb, after he'd been wandering around the wilderness for 40 years, and he's 80 years old now, and he comes to Joshua, he said, remember when we went in to spy out the land? Moses said, I could have whatever I put my feet on. Yeah, I remember. I remember. He said, I walked on that mountain. I want that mountain. Joshua said, oh, well, now, Caleb, there's giants up there. They'll just have to get off. And God said concerning Caleb, he has a different spirit about him. We need to take that same type of an attitude. When we find promises in the Word of God and we know that they're ours, it's something that we need in our lives and we know it's God's will to bring it into our lives, we need to get it out there where we can see it and then make the decision, you're just going to have to get off my mountain because that's mine. He's authorized me, he's anointed me, and he's leading me. And I'm taking it by faith. It's not about what I can do, it's about what I believe. And it's by faith I'm taking this. So he faces the enemy. He says, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Now, when he told him this, he didn't tell them how they were going to take Jericho, did he? He didn't tell them how he was going to take Achan, did he? Or any of the other towns. Didn't tell them how he was going to do any of that. He said, get across the river. What's the first thing he needs to do? Rise up, get ready, we're going to go across the river. How many times do we find our lives stagnant because we're not taking the first step because we can't see the second one? Don't write the book, Kathy. You don't have anybody to sell it. You don't have anybody to publish it. Don't write the book, Kathy. What do you know? You're not even educated. Don't write that book. Who's going to read it? It'd be funny if it wasn't real, wouldn't it? So he says, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. So let's put this in our context. Jesus said, I give you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, supernatural power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. It talks about the name of Jesus. I've given you the name that's above every name, that at that name every knee should bow in heaven, earth, and under the earth. Whatever you ask in my name, I will give it to you. Now, if he's given it to you, then we need to rise and go take it, just like he told the nation of Israel. Yes? No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life, as I was with Moses. Now see, he's given him a picture here. He's encouraging him. He's given him something he can see. Now remember, he spent all these years with Moses. He saw everything that God was doing. He says, now, Joshua, get this straight. I want you to get this. Look at me, Joshua. I just see God taking him by the hand, face. Joshua, have I got your attention? I want you to listen to me. I'm going to be with you just as I was with Moses. And wherever you go, no man will be able to stand against you. He didn't say you would not have to fight. He didn't say you would not have to stand. He didn't say you wouldn't have to trust me. He said no man will be able to stand against you. In other words, trust him and do what he tells you to do. That's the answer. Because we take it by faith. All he told him to do is get across the river. Well, what am I going to do when I get across there? You don't need to know that yet. Get across the river. Well, God, why would I write a book? That doesn't matter, Kathy. You just write the book. Seeing it? Are you with me, Tiff? Okay. No man will be able to shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not, I will not, I will not, I will not, I will not. Now remember, he says, as I was with Moses. Yeah, you get this picture, Tiff? God was with Moses. He says, I talked face to face with Moses. I was with Moses. And he said, I'm with you just like I was with Moses. Now, and I will never, never leave you, and neither will I forsake you. Why would he have to tell him that, Kathy? So he could remember it when he got out there as a cold, windy, rainy, winds blowing, you know, had a hard, long day, and you're tired, and it's been so long. And he said, don't forget. I'm with you wherever you are. I'll never leave you. I'll not forsake you. Okay, so y'all have got your faith board now, right? You know what God is directing you to do. You've got that figured out. You've got the promises. And he says, now, there's nothing hindering you from achieving that because I'm with you, and whatever gets in your way, you can move it out of the way. That's good, Pastor. Thank you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Verse 6. So he gave him a definition of what he wanted him to trust him for. He said, there's nothing, no man that can stand against you that keep you from achieving what I've called you to do. Nothing can keep you from it. And number 3 is, you will divide the inheritance. You're going to lead them in. You're going to remove all the enemies. And you're going to divide the land to the tribes. Verse 6 says, be strong, be strong, be strong, be strong. Be strong, be strong. Be strong, be strong, be strong. Strong. Be strong. Be strong. What did he say? Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. So, what's he saying to you, Tiff? He says, I'm with you. Be strong. Don't back up. Be courageous. Now, why would I need courage? Because it's scary out here. Do you think for one moment that David didn't have a thought that what if I miss him with that rock? Huh? He had to suck it up, didn't he? He probably thought, why did I tell them guys I'd kill him? Now I got to do something about it. Well, I guess the best thing I can do is go find a couple of rocks. We'll see what happens. I said it. Yeah, I got to back it up or lose face. So here we go. God says, be strong. Don't be weak. Don't be afraid. Don't be filled with fear. Don't be filled with worry. Don't become stagnant or neutral. Because if you're not strong and you're not courageous, you will take everything out of gear and you will park or put it in reverse. I promise you, it'll get so scary, he'll run you off the mountain if you don't drive a stake in the ground through your foot so that you can't run. Yes? See, that's the thing. People, this is what happens here. People are trying to figure out why God didn't do what he said he would do when they ran off, and he said, I want you to stay there. I said, well, I guess God didn't want me to have it. No, don't go there. Did God want the nation of Israel to have the land the first time they came up to it? But they didn't take it, did they? Was it because God didn't want them to have it? It's because they wouldn't go across the river. And why wouldn't they? Because they couldn't see all the steps before they left the eastern shore and got on the western shore. So he said, be strong and of good courage because you're going to know that. Now, what are you going to put your strength and your courage in? What God has promised you. What the vision board is. What did he promise you? What is it? He said, you will lead them in. Nobody will defeat you. I will be with you just like I was with Moses. And you are going to divide the land. So what does that mean? That means you are actually going to possess all the land and then you'll divide it up amongst the... What he's trying to tell him is, Joshua, I don't want you to give up. I don't want you to quit because you are going to win, but you've got to stay with it. And this is why I'm telling you this, because they're going to try to keep you from taking the land, but I want you to stay with it. And I'm telling you, Joshua, you will divide the land up between the tribes. What does that mean? We have won. He wanted him to fight until that happened. He wanted to stay with it until it happened. You will divide the inheritance. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to your fathers to give them. So he promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that he would give them this land. Now, he brings his attention to the promise. I promised your ancestors, and I'm going to do it. That's why faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, because his word is eternal. When he says it, he will do it. Okay, then we're down to verse 7. How much time do I have here? All right, we're doing okay. So now in verse 7, you can write in your notes, this is how you will possess, evict, and divide. Verse 7 for a note, you can put, this is how you will possess, evict, and divide. Now, it's good you get all those promises. Okay, God, how am I going to do it? Have you ever asked that question? I have. And I think a lot of times we're looking for the wrong answer. Because what he told Joshua was, you need to pay attention to what I said, and you'll be able to figure it out. Let's go down through here and see what it says. So, starting in verse 7, he tells Joshua how it is he's going to be able to lead the nation, how he's going to be able to defeat the enemy, how it is he's going to be able to win and divide the land to the tribes. He tells him here, starting in verse 7, only be strong and very courageous that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left that you may prosper wherever you go. So the first thing he said, whatever I have told you, do not disobey it. Or in modern terms, I would say, do what the word says. But pastor, you don't know how mean they've been. God said, number one, forgive them. Number two, love them. Number three, speak blessing over them. Overcome evil with good, right? But God, I want to run over him. Well, yeah, but you're not going to win doing that. Yes? So do what the word says. That's what he's telling Joshua. He says, now, This is how you're going to take the land. You're going to do what I have told you to do. How are you going to take the land? I'll say it again. You are going to do what I told you to do. How am I going to receive my healing? You're going to do what I told you to do. How am I going to get a new job? You're going to do what I told you to do. Now remember, he doesn't give you 200 steps in advance. He gives you one. And even that one's a faith step. So he said, only be strong and very courageous that you may observe. So he wants you to be able to see. Now get this. Be strong and courageous so that you can observe. So fear and worry and anxiety will keep you from seeing God's opportunity. It will keep you from seeing the truth. Now, you say, yeah, well, I'm afraid. I'm okay. Okay, I got that. But it's not helping you. It's hurting you. So let's start trusting what God said. Instead of being afraid of what might happen, let's believe that God will do what he said. Now, Joshua, believing that God would do what he said, meant he must rise and get them across that river. That's the first step. What's the first step you're looking at? What needs to be done? Okay? Only be strong that you may observe to do. He wants you to be able to see what you need to do, according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. And he said, do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left. In other words, obey it. Hold it to the letter. So Joshua, doing what God commands him to do, enables him to prosper. You know, doing what the Word says sometimes just does not seem like it's the right way to go. You don't have enough to meet your needs. God says, bring your tithe in. God says, give to that person that you're having a hard time forgiving. Go give them something. Give them a gift. Help somebody else pay their house off. Help somebody else get a job. Help the people that are supervising you be promoted and get raised up. Do something. Hello. He said, do what I tell you to do, and then you will prosper in whatever you do. Now, the prosperity is the result of doing what God has instructed us. And we're in talking about faith, many times we lose sight of what faith is and what faith entails. You know, faith is believing, boldly speaking, and acting on what you believe. Okay? So let's go to verse 8, and we'll get down here. I got time to do this, I think. Verse 8. Now remember, he's telling Joshua how he's going to lead, defeat, divide. Have you ever had, God, how can I do this? And God says, just do what my word says. Well, thank you, Jesus, but that's not what I'm looking for. I want to know, how do I do this? He said, stick your nose in there and start listening. He said to Joshua, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. If you're taking notes, we're talking about how am I going to do this? Number one, you're going to put God's promise on your lips. You're going to talk to yourself about God's promise. That doesn't mean you talk about your fears. That doesn't mean you talk about your doubts. It doesn't mean you talk about your lack. It doesn't mean you deny what you're facing. You're denying what you're facing, the right to stay. Hello. So he says to Joshua, he says, I want you to keep my word on your lips. Remember, he said, you are going to lead them into the promised land. You will defeat all of the enemies. You will divide the land to all the tribes. I will be with you just as I was with Moses. So he gets the people up, he gets them started to cross there, and he has to tell himself, God told me. Are you hearing me? God told me. Well, that, you know, when somebody comes to me and they say, Pastor, God said, well, I'm out of the equation from that moment. I just hope what they're telling me really God said, because when somebody tells me God said, I can't help them. You got to keep your eye on the promise, because the enemy's going to say, you can't do it. It's not going to happen. You don't have this. You don't have that. Are you sure you're trusting God? Are you sure he said that? Yeah, right there it is. I got it written on the walls, and it's on my mirror every morning. I look at it. And Joshua's taking those people across that river. He said, God said that I would lead them into the promised land. God said I would defeat all the enemies, because there's enemies on the other side of the bank. God said we would stay, fight, and win, and I would divide the land to the tribes. You say, well, where'd you get all that? Where he said, keep this book of the law in your mouth. See, that's where we sometimes begin to miss it. We're talking about, I believe I receive. We're not saying what God said about our situation. In your situation, what does the word say about it? Your relationship with your father, what has God promised you? That's what you need to be saying. And not your fears and your worries and your doubts, or your failures, or whatever, or what someone else said about you. I was just telling Linda before church. No, it was Kathy. Yeah, it was Kathy. I've had people tell me, God has left you, he's finished with you, he's done with you. Really? That's kind of amazing. You know, I like to tell them, Tiff, I like to look them right in the eye and say, well, if that's true, you better get home, because he's coming to your house next. Huh? Because he's no respecter of persons. If he's throwing me in the trash, you're next. Hello? Okay, so he said, this book of law shall not depart from your mouth. Number one, keep it on your lips. Number two, thou shalt meditate on it day and night. Now remember, he gave them this vision, this picture. He says, I want you to look at that, and I want you to talk about it, and I want you to think about it, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing what I said. And all things are possible to those who believe. All things are possible to the, what is possible to Joshua? To lead them into the land, to defeat the enemy, to divide the land to all the tribes. That's possible. Within the boundaries that God gave him. And he says, you keep that on your mouth. And now he says, I want you to think about it. Meditate on it. Mr. Revolve it in the mind. Mutter to yourself day and night. Keep that. Why? Because you are being bombarded continually about why it cannot happen. You know, we come to church on a Sunday morning or Wednesday night. We get all pumped up. Praise God. We go, wow, praise God. Yeah, good. We walk out that door and we don't hardly get home. You go, ooh. I don't feel so courageous right now. Well, you got to pump yourself up. Put the word on your lips. Begin to think about the promises of God. Now, when he told Joshua here, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night. Did he mean continually? That doesn't mean that you can't take time to brush your teeth or to fix a meal or go to work. That's not what he's saying. But you need to fill your thoughts. And Colossians said, I may have to turn there. Go to Colossians 3, somebody. Colossians 3. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things of earth. For your life is hid with Christ in God. Isn't that chapter 3, Don? Verse 2. Chapter 3. Read it out loud, Tiff.
Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. For you died and your life is hid with Christ in God.
Set your mind on the things above, not on the things of the earth. Hello. Come on. Set your mind. When you're taking the land. When the enemy is when you're trying to trust God for healing, when you're trying to trust God for a job, you're trying to trust God for your children, you're trying to trust God for a new business or whatever. He says that land is already occupied and somebody is trying to keep you from getting it. Now you're going to have to be strong and have good courage. Now you get that vision out there in front of you, and that's your promise. That's what I told you. You can have that. You can trust me for that. I told you can have that. Now he says, I want you to put that on your lips and I want you to think about it day and night. Have you ever caught yourself thinking about what's not going to happen or what could happen or what maybe should have happened or why it is you're not going to get it day and night? Have you ever got so stirred up you couldn't sleep about something and it wasn't edifying, wasn't building you up, wasn't bringing faith? Well, you understand what I'm saying. You just need to do it the way God said. So he says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it, the word of God, day and night, that you may observe, that you may be able to see to do. That you may be able to see to do. How many times have you been told in your own I don't have time. I don't have time to spend thinking about the word. I don't have time to speak what the word says. I don't have time to take a moment and ask God to help me. He says, I want you to put what I have said on your lips. I want you to think about it because it will enable you to see what you need to do. That you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then what? When you are able to see what you need to do, then you will make your way prosperous and you shall have good success. He just answered Joshua's question, how am I going to take the land? How am I going to lead them? How am I going to defeat the people? How am I going to divide the inheritance? You are going to take my promise. You're going to put it on your lips. You're going to think about it continually so that you can see what to do. Remember when I started this, I said, what we're going to do is we're going to look at what we think we know or what we've forgotten. And we can look at it and say, am I doing what this says? So he goes on to say, for then you will make your way prosperous and then you will have good success. And verse 9, we're going to close with this. He told him, you will never be alone. I want everybody in here to say this. I will never be alone. God is with me every moment. Now, he's not standing beside watching you go down for the third time. He's there to help you. He's there to empower you. He's there to defeat your enemies. He's there to give you the land. He's there to encourage you. He says, I will be with you. That's what I told Joshua. Now, why would he tell Joshua that? That's what you got to ask yourself. Why? Because he's going to face a lot of scary moments when it looks like God's gone someplace else. He wants Joshua to believe what he said. I can imagine he probably more than once got a hold of Joshua and said, did you forget? I said I'd be with you. Oh, yeah, I got it. Until the next giant comes along. Okay? Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. For the Lord, your God. For the Lord, your God. Who's your God? Is it Jesus? Is he above all others? Jesus said to each one of you, I, your Savior, your Redeemer, your Reconciler, your Healer, your Provider, your Peacemaker, your Joy Giver, am with you. And I am your God. When he said, I am your God, that means there is nothing else greater in your life than he is. Not disease, not lack, not fear, not worry, not people, not failure of some sort, not sin of some sort. He's greater. As you're going through life and as you're achieving what God has given to you, this is a lifetime process that God gave to Joshua. In the process of time, you're going to take all this. He says, and don't forget, I'm with you. I am your God. That means there's nothing else that's greater than I am in your life. Whatever your face is less than I am. And I am your God. Disease and sickness is not your God. Lack is not your God. Fear and worry is not your God. A mental illness is not your God. Business failure is not your God. Whatever. He says, I am. And he said, Don't be afraid or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you. With you. With you. With you. Wherever you go. Now, what's he want us to do? Put that on your lips. Think about it. Continually. And go. Why? So that you can see what you need to do. And the enemy does not want you doing that because he doesn't want you seeing what you need to do. He's going to keep you occupied, keep you busy, keep you full of fear, telling you don't have time, it's not working. What's the use? They're too big, it's too hard, it's too tough, it's too long. Okay, well, I've got to close with that.